Good evening. It's good to be able to stand before you this first Sunday of the new year. You know, as we reflect back upon the year that has just passed, we've seen in this country a lot of difficulties. We've had a lot of challenges. But we also, this year, within the Church of Christ, within the body of Christ, seen many blessings. If we could just go forward now from this time and this place and have God continue to bless us as He has this past year, I'm sure that our blessings would be so manifold that we could not possibly accept them. You know, we can throw away the pages of last year's calendar, but we can't throw away the days of the past year. Some of what we would like to remember gives us joy and victory, as well as those days of sorrow and defeat. A Greek philosopher once said, "You cannot step into the same river twice, for other waters are ever flowing on you." Cannot step into the same river twice. We are witnessing today in this world rapid change, a universal change. But we need constantly to be reminded that while all else is changing in the world, there's one thing that never changes. And that is our Savior Jesus Christ. He never changes. He's the same today as He was yesterday, as He will be tomorrow. His teachings never change. They're the same yesterday as they are today, as they will be tomorrow. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the 8th verse, it tells that. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this is one thing that we can rejoice in. This is one thing that we can anchor our souls to, is that Jesus Christ never changes. That He is always the same. His love for us never changes. Even though the world around us is in a state of change, in a state of flux, and in a state of turmoil, there's one that's constant and true, and that's Jesus Christ. And we can take courage for the new year. As it moves along day by day, our Savior's words remain constant and encouraging us along. I see a lot of hope. You know, we sang a song as we began this service, Whispering Hope. I see a lot of hope for this coming year. I've seen a lot of changes that's taken place in this local in the past year. Many of you were there yesterday as we went around preparing the church for today's service. You've seen people working together. working together in love. But there's one thing that I have come to realize is needed. That the body of Christ in the coming year must have greater unity, must have greater oneness, must have greater love one toward another. This is what makes us different from the rest of the world. I'd like to turn in the scriptures to John. We're going to take the 14th chapter. We're going to take the 17th chapter. I'm going to start with the 5th verse. And this is Jesus praying. It says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all They have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come unto thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may... That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." This indicates that we are one body. We are the body of Christ. And Christ prayed for us that we may be one. We may be united. we may hold a oneness together, that perfect love of Christ. Let's go to Galatians, the third chapter. The 26th through the 29th verse. This tells us or instructs us that we are brothers and sisters together. For ye are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. And if ye are Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And it also is important that we concentrate on loving one another. And let's turn to John. The 13th chapter, the 34th verse. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another. Do we have that love? Do we have the love that Christ has for us, for one another? I think we do. We're also instructed in 1 Peter, the fourth chapter, the 8th verse, and it says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity preventeth a multitude of sins." That perfect love prevents sin. And again in John 15, I'm going to start with the 12th verse. And this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. And for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And then in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, starting with the 2nd verse, it says, "With all lowliness and meekness, or with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, in one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." And then we stop and think that at times we have differences. one with another. But this should not be our differences are not a basis for separation or division. I want to read to you a little bit out of Romans. In the Roman letter, the 14th chapter, it speaks about a lot of things. It talks about those that have differences one with another, and that those differences mean nothing. Starting with the first verse, "Him that is weak of the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him that eateth, let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To this own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be broken up, or he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth it not, or regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord. And he that giveth, and for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." We've got to overlook one another's frailties, one another's problems. We must share our lives with one another. I was rather encouraged this past week. I come home from work one evening. It had snowed. And I'd talked to Jewel a little bit earlier, and she told me how cold she was. And I got home, and I seen that the driveway had been shoveled, and the walkway had been shoveled. And I told her, I said, "Well, there's no, it's not unusual that you should be cold after doing all that work." And she says, "Well, I didn't do it. I thought you did it." And I said, "No, I said, I haven't been home yet. How could I shovel the walk?" And we got to thinking about those that might have done it. And we discussed the fact that maybe Philip's children had come over and shoveled our walk. So we happened to call, and it wasn't his kids that had done it, but he went to Walmart to buy a new shovel, and he thought he'd try it out on the way home and see how well it worked. You know, it's the little things that we do for one another. This is something that we can take and take great joy in, is the fact that we can love one another enough to do the little things. And the little things are those things that count. We all have opportunity daily. We have opportunity to help one another. If we, you know, it's customary within this country to look upon New Year's as a time of setting resolutions. I don't like to set resolutions because I very seldom ever complete them. It's a time of setting goals. I'm one that likes to set goals. I like to write them down and see their completion. But you know, the goal setting is not what's important. Resolving to do things is not what's important. What's important is what you glean out of the Scriptures. What God gives you the opportunity to do, and then you do it. If there was one thing that I would think that would be one thing that we could resolve within ourselves, and that is that we see an opportunity to do good, and we do it. We're told in Ephesians, it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." How important it is. How important it is for us as brothers and sisters in Christ, loved ones, members of one family, because that's what we are. We're members of one family. That we forgive one another and that we're tender-hearted. The last time I preached was up at the temple lot. It was the Christmas sermon. And in that sermon, I told many of you that were up there the story about a family that continuously bickered and fought with one another. And that the mother, being beside herself with what to do, she devised a game or a contest on how to make a bed for Christ. And to make it soft, you would add straw to it. And that the straw was one good deed that you would do for someone else. It happened to be the members of that family that were doing good deeds one for another. And if you remember, many of you, I told you about the boy of the family. He kept drawing out his sister's name. And he come to the point where he just couldn't do it anymore. He couldn't be kind to her one more time. And he thought he would have to leave. How often have you been there? How often has it been that you just couldn't hardly stand to do something kind for a brother or a sister one more time? Well, as he went about, his mother gave him the opportunity to change the name that he had drawn, to take the one that she had drawn. But yet, that evening, when it was time for bed, the mother went in to lay out the night clothes and turn down the bed for the girl. And she had found that it had already been done. That it was done by her brother, who couldn't stand to do one more nice thing. Well, I hope that we're never faced with that dilemma of not wanting to help our brothers and sisters, especially those of the household of faith. I hope that we would make Christ's bed a little bit softer by our attitudes of love. And really, if you stop and think of the scriptures, love is paramount. Love is what Christ is all about. That's what Christ's teaching is all about. If you love me, keep my commandments. You're to love one another. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving. Even as Christ is. I would hate to think of where I would be right now if it wasn't for the love of Jesus Christ. I know that there's times when you probably get tired of me hearing or tired of me saying this about Christ, but one of the things that's really important to me, one of the songs that I really love to sing, is hymn number 205 in our hymnal. And that tells that we serve a living Savior that's in the world today. And you know, when we get to the chorus of it, it says He lives, He lives. And it tells about how we know that He lives because He lives within our heart. And that's where the love of Jesus Christ resides, is within our hearts. We're to build up one another, encourage one another. This is the thing that we think of a lot of times when we think of the first of the year, in setting our goals resolving these resolutions, is that we think about what we can do to build ourselves up and build up those around us, our families. Let's turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And I would like to start with the 22nd verse. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Wait a minute, let me read that again. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Let us lift each other up during this coming year. Let us lift up the Church of Christ and be willing to hold up the standard of Jesus Christ. The second song that we sung was Jesus Took My Burden and Left Me With a Song. I can remember one of the last times that I saw Marvin Ealy. He had talked about this song, Jesus Took My Burden and Left Me With a Song. I don't know that it was his favorite, but he spoke of it often. And you know, Jesus did take his burden and leave him with a song. And Jesus has taken every one of our burdens. He's taken your burden and he's taken mine. And he's replaced that with the spirit of love and contentment, of peace, of joy, of happiness, of love one for another. And this is one thing that I've joyed in the Church of Christ ever since I became acquainted with the people of Christ, was that I've seen this love manifest one toward another. And this is one thing that I hope will never diminish, that it will continue to grow, continue to prosper. You talk about prospering in the next year. I think God has manifold blessings ready for us in this coming year. I don't think that we will want for many things, but we have to follow after the teachings of Jesus Christ. We have to search out Christ in everything that we do. We have to stand ready to lift the standard of Christ higher and higher and show others that we love our Savior and that we're willing and ready to witness of His love for us. Thank you.